Welcome to Planet Upload. Planet Upload is a weekly podcast that takes an unfiltered look at the creator ecosystem, online video, and the social media landscape. I'm Lauren Schnipper, creator and online video expert.
And I'm Joshua Cohen, co-founder of TubeFilter and the Streamy Awards. Lauren.
Yo.
Are you excited?
I'm so excited. We have a huge podcast today, Josh.
Guest number two,
Mr. Ben Rellis, YouTube vet. He is coming on to talk about his initiative, Good to Vote, that amongst many things, had a small creator named David Dobrik. It helped him register 125,000 people to vote. It's insane.
Yeah, it's totally incredible. It's especially incredible, too, when you put it in the context that the organization Ben is doing this Good to Vote campaign with is headcount.org. And Headcount in previous years was super stoked about signing up 1,400 people to vote at festivals like Bonnaroo. So getting David Dobrik on board and getting David Dobrik to sign up over 125,000 people to vote is just absolutely nuts.
It's crazy. So excited. All right, so we're going to get to him soon. So let's talk about some important things before that. And what do you think about that, Josh? Can we get to it?
Yeah, let's do it.
I think this is really fascinating. So YouTube is testing some e-commerce tools that's going to turn creator videos into product catalogs. First of all, just like zooming out, YouTube getting deeper into e-commerce as they should, as they haven't really done, is an obvious move, and also just like what has taken them so long. But basically the goal is to convert YouTube's bounty of videos into a vast catalog of items that viewers can peruse, click on, and buy directly. And they're also testing a new integration with Shopify for selling items through YouTube. So I guess they're starting this with just a few creators, and creators will have control over the products that are displayed. So it's a huge step in the direction of like the amount of possibility that YouTube has to basically compete with like an Amazon via its video creators is just enormous. And so this is just starting to tap into this. So I think this is a huge move for them. I mean, Facebook's already going down this road pretty hard, and I know that's they're pretty bullish about the category in general. So I think this is exciting.
The arc of technology is diverse and long, but it bends towards direct consumer shopping.
It bends toward money.
This is an obvious next step in what YouTube's doing. It's an obvious next step in whatever social media platform is doing for anything. Like, TikTok's trying to do this to varying degrees. Like you said, Facebook, Instagram's getting more serious about this. There's been talk on Twitter about people are part of this beta where they can search directly for products instead of different hashtags and anything else. So that leads one to believe that maybe Instagram is getting interested in letting people search directly for products and then possibly purchasing them on the platform. That could be super cool. But so YouTube needs to do this too, because they have to compete with the giant that is Amazon, and YouTube and Google own a huge percent of market share for search and video. They own a much less percent of the market share for shopping. And so they want to leverage all the resources they have at their disposal in order to compete with that behemoth. This is super smart. And also, if they're able to pull it off, it accomplishes a bunch of different things at once. One, gets more people shopping on Google and YouTube on platforms. And two, can give their creators some more dough too.
Yeah, and I mean, let's be honest, their foray into this category previously was really largely like the YouTube shelf, which, you know, creators can kind of be a part of. And that product is not great. To me, it feels like a box that YouTube was ticking because YouTubers were like, we need a better place to sell our stuff as opposed to just putting links in the description. And so like, oh, here's this thing. But it's not a great experience at all. I mean, I don't know if the last time you checked it out, but it just feels very beta and kind of janky. And so it's weird to me that this is, I mean, I was going to say this weird to me that it's taken so long, but everything I know about YouTube, like these kind of bigger moves take a really long time at places like YouTube because they're not like Facebook where Facebook throws everything against a wall to see what fits. YouTube is much more calculated in their risk taking and their product launches. So like in that sense, like it doesn't seem odd to me, but it's also just like at a certain point, it's like, guys, what are you doing? Like, this is a huge opportunity. And like, I can't believe it's taken this long. So really excited to see how this goes. It's a huge opportunity. And I mean, like literally if done well, I mean, there's a major move here to be major competitor with like an Amazon. So I'm very excited to see this.
For sure. And also, I know at least at the start of the lockdown for the pandemic in March and April, YouTube saw huge upticks in the number of creators that were selling things in that merch shelf. Although I agree with you, the merch shelf has a ways to go in terms of user experience and integration to the site and everything, but saw huge upticks in the number of creators that were using that merch shelf, and huge upticks in the number of people that were buying items from that merch shelf. And so the more that continues to happen, along with the other types of transactions that can take place on YouTube, like tipping for live streams, like buying subscriptions on YouTube for specific channels, consumers are just going to get more comfortable with spending money on the platform and then buying different things. And this ties great.
You know who's winning in all of this and every step of the way is Shopify. Shopify is just like, when is the bad, I feel like there's not been like a bad story about Shopify. It's like, everybody loves it. It's like the greatest thing. Every platform wants to integrate with it. Like, I'm just like, there's gotta be, what's on the other side? When's the other shoe going to drop? Like, it just feels like they can do no wrong.
Totally. And I think if Amazon and now Google potentially is at one end, Shopify is on the other end of the spectrum, where Amazon and Google are these huge, massive companies where people go to their destinations, where sellers want to get into their platforms and work with them inside of their platforms. And on the other end of the spectrum, you have Shopify, which, as VC at Ludlow Ventures, Blake Robbins, said, is arming the rebels.
Ew.
So Shopify is, instead of this central location for everyone to go for e-commerce, it's arming all these people to set up their own e-commerce stores to fight the galactic empire that is Amazon and Google.
I love it. Okay. Next up, I think this is really fascinating. Facebook unveils a free tool enabling creators to test their video before they publish it. So what they're basically going to do is they're going to like allow creators, it seems like a little update, but this is actually huge. They're allowing creators to sort of A/B test different aspects of your sort of post, some of the creative aspects of the post before the video is posted. So basically what they're going to do is, like, so let's use the thumbnail as an example. They're going to allow you to test like four different thumbnails, for example, to a small subset of users on watch. And then they're going to tell you kind of which one does best. And then you can make your changes accordingly and then post it. I mean, this is something that's typically only like sort of for like advertisers do this in terms of, you know, they'll do really small tests running ads with a bunch of different versions of an ad to see what works. And it's a very common practice on kind of the advertising end, but I've not seen it kind of with just regular sort of posting of videos. I think this is actually huge and really interesting, and it allows you to use data to figure out what's going to use best. And I like it from the perspective of somebody who works at Facebook, where people are always like, well, what works? And it's like, well, now I can be like, I don't know, ask your audience, which is basically what I used to say, because it was always about your insights dictate what kind of works for your page. But this goes a step further in saying you can actually effectively ask your audience like what they're going to like best. I think this is really, really interesting and lets creators be much more strategic and deliberate with what they're going to post.
And I like this, Lauren, because I'm a burgeoning YouTube star.
It's true. And your thumbnails are spectacular.
Thumbnails are solid. Let's just put it this way. Only getting better.
Show's name, man? Quick plug.
It's called Creator News. It's at youtube.com/tubefilter. It's fantastic. You should check it out.
Go.
ASAP. Watch it on 2x if you want. If you want to take it easy, watch it on single speed.
Whatever you want. Go on.
Yeah, you got to do you. So I love this because I hope it does incredibly well for Facebook, so then YouTube copies it and then I can utilize it to propel myself to
massive stardom,
viewership and stardom on YouTube.
Well, yeah.
Correct. Because one of the most stressful things in this whole process, now that I've gotten a little bit more comfortable in front of the camera, has been, what are we going to call this video? And what should the thumbnail be? And if we could just have two or three options, that the ideal would be it dynamically cycles between different thumbnail and different title options. And test that to the first, I don't know, 100 viewers, 200 viewers, or whatever, however many impressions they want to give you. And then select the best one and you can accept it and then go from there. That would be, I think, game changing for lots of creators.
I think it is. I mean, I hope that creators utilize this. I think there's a set of creators that are going to be thinking really, you know, the creators that we talk about all the time that are thinking about businesses and thinking about longevity, like this is for them. Like, this is such a huge opportunity that I hope is taken advantage of. I really do. I think it's so, I think it's really, really exciting. It's I don't know. I think it could be game changing for a lot of creators.
Totally. And if you talk to huge creators on other platforms like YouTube, like Mr. Beast, he'll tell you his ideas for a video start with the thumbnail. It's like, okay, what's the thumbnail going to look like? And if he doesn't have a vision in his head for what a good thumbnail is going to be, he's not going to do the
video. Yeah, no, I've heard that before. Some it's like some actors are, you know, they work from the inside out and outside in. Some are inspired by their costumes. Some, you know, it's like depends. But I've totally heard that before because it gives them like an anchoring point to like to sort of like create around. And so that makes a lot of sense to me, actually. Okay, Josh, I think it's time to welcome our guest. You want to give him a little intro?
So excited to have Ben Rellis on the podcast. He is currently the head of innovations at YouTube Originals. He started his career as a YouTube creator in 2007, launching the Barely Political channel with the famous I Got a Crush on Obama from Obama Girl. In 2011, Ben joined YouTube, where he spent the last 10 years, and we talked to him about all of that, and more specifically, his Good to Vote initiative, which has registered over 160,000 people to date, and 400,000 people have taken other actions to make sure that they are good to vote in the 2020 election.
First of all, thank you, Ben, for joining us on Planet Upload. We're very excited that you're here. Want to start with you. We gave a little intro, but give us like just a quick background on YouTube. You've been there for 120 years, I think. So,
that's right.
Yeah. So if you just give us a little background on YouTube, how long you've been there, what you kind of do there.
Sure. Yeah. I started as a YouTube creator in 2007. The first video I did was called I Got a Crush on Obama. And that video did really well. And so I joined a company called Next New Networks. Uh-huh. Next New Networks was then acquired by YouTube in 2011. Uh-huh. So I have been there almost 10 years. Uh-huh. And now I'm on the YouTube Originals team. I'm the head of innovation for YouTube Originals. I've been with YouTube Originals for 5 years.
Awesome. So then let's just go right into this amazing sort of, I don't know what you call it, like initiative campaign that you've kind of started. So it's Good to Vote is what it's called. And this was kind of your idea. Yes. And then you brought it to Headcount. So tell us about kind of the impetus for it, where it came from and everything.
Sure. I mean, the idea came initially because voter registration was way down this year because of COVID. Mm-hmm. You can't sign people up to vote at normal places like the DMV and concerts.
Right.
So I was trying to think about how could you use YouTube and digital ways to actually get people to register to vote. And I was seeing a lot of people put up reminders of don't forget to register, but I felt like there might be a more creative way in to try to incentivize fans to vote. Mm-hmm. And so while you can't actually give somebody something for registering, you can't say if you register you'll get, you know, this item. What I came up with was this idea that you could actually say, okay, to my fans, if 1,000 of you register to vote, here's what I'll do for you. And that could be whatever they think their fans would want. So, you know, one person could give them a free song, another person could give them a free video, but it would essentially be a way to get people to act right then and there and register to vote, which is an important thing to do.
That's so cool. And then, so would your plan to sort of do it inside of YouTube initially, or like what was your plan with it once you had this idea? Did you go to creators first?
I took time off from YouTube to do it over the summer.
Okay.
And the initial idea was, yes, to work with creators, although I did think it would work really well with musicians and some other categories. So the way the idea started was I initially thought, well, what if you said to a bunch of people, let's set a goal, like 1 million people registering to vote. And as soon as that happens, all of this different stuff will be unlocked. So, you know, in the dream scenario, Beyonce is getting Destiny's Child back together when 1 million people use this link to vote.
A dream.
But it's going to be the same link for everybody, a dream. So then that turned out to be really complicated because it's hard to track voter registrations in real time. So then I had the idea of actually giving every individual who participated their own custom link. And so as an example, you would say headcount.org/Vsauce. And that was the first one we did. And then any of the Vsauce fans that signed up for that registration link or signed up through that registration link would essentially get something from Michael, the host of Vsauce. In this case, he had agreed to shave his beard, which he hasn't shaved in like, I don't know what, 7 or 8 years.
Right.
So then once that plan felt like it could work, I had to find a partner to actually create these links and do all of the tracking. And I called headcount.org.
Yeah, so CEO, Headcount's Andy, been around since like 2004, started my understanding of like sort of trying to get the music industry to like help with like voter registration and stuff, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Yes. And they have been primarily over the past 16 years focused on how do you register people to vote at concerts and events right. and live and in person.
Right.
And so I think that's part of what enabled this to happen so quickly.
Right.
When I called Andy Bernstein, who's the CEO of Headcount, mm-hmm. I think there was two things he really liked about it. One, he had done something with a YouTube channel called SourceFed, mm-hmm. I think 12 years ago, mm-hmm. and it was really successful. And so he knew that YouTube creators could move the needle. Mm-hmm. And two, he didn't have all these concerts, so they were looking for creative ways to use the internet to basically register people to vote.
Right.
And so he really responded well to the idea and said, let's just take it, let's test it. Mm. Let's get a couple of links out there. We'll be able, he had me links within, I think, like 6 hours.
Wow.
With the photo and the text and what it would look like. And so it moved very quickly once he said he was in.
And how did you, like, how did you decide to go to first? Because, like, in my experience, you know, creators are historically, like, you know, a little bit reticent to get involved in politics. What's great about this, of course, is it's nonpartisan, so it kind of, you know, involves everybody. But so how did you decide to go to who first, and what was their response?
So the first person I went to was Michael Stevens, uh-huh. who is the host of Vsauce, uh-huh. the creator of Vsauce. Uh-huh. And yeah, went to him first largely because I've known him for a long time. I actually hired him for Barely Political, which was the YouTube channel that I started. Mm-hmm. And we've worked together lots of different ways. He actually worked at YouTube with me for a while. And then he's independent at Vsauce now. Mm-hmm. So yeah, initially, because it was the first one, I wanted to go with somebody that I knew right. and let them know, I don't know if this is going to work or not.
Sure.
So he did everything right. He put up a video that was a great appeal to why it's important to vote. He said, if 100 of you register to vote, I'll put out this old pilot I did with Next New Networks in 2010. And then if 500 of you register to vote, then I will shave the beard off. Mm. And so that was the first one we did. I really didn't know how it would work.
Yeah.
I had been pitching this idea like, well, of course this will work, but I really didn't know.
Right.
And then Headcount gives me updates immediately. So I get an update, you know, 4 hours he puts up the post, 4 hours afterwards, and he had registered like 650 people to vote
wow.
in the first 4 hours.
Wow.
So then it was like, yes, we got something. So this is a model that can be replicated, and his fans loved it. There wasn't any blowback on, you know, why are you preaching about voting and all that. So once we had that kind of case study yeah. to work from, we could keep adapting it. And now we've actually worked with over 100 YouTube creators and celebrities. And so, you know, it's evolved along the way. But yeah, it's kind of anchored in this idea of trying to incentivize people to vote and make it fun along the way.
I mean, it's so cool. I love it. We have to talk about Dobrik. I mean, this is bananas. How did Dobrik? So what's the, Josh, what's the latest? I think we had 120,000 people he's registered. Josh, I think you saw that, or Ben, you probably know even better.
Yeah. It's actually, yeah, 125,000 now.
God.
So to kind of speed up to the Dobrik part. So Michael ends up registering over 2,000 people, which is excellent. It's more than a lot of pop stars have registered, and the response is really great. Mm-hmm. So then we started working with more YouTube creators. Mm-hmm. Then we started working with celebrities as well and music artists. And, you know, Samuel Jackson was probably the first one that broke out. He said, if 2,500 of you register to vote or verify your registration, I'll teach you to curse in 15 languages. And you know that got like 10,000 people to either verify their registration or register to vote.
Wow.
And then we worked with Hailee Steinfeld, and we did something with the cast of Mean Girls where they did a reunion. If people got to 5,000 verifications.
Oh, I watched the reunion. I didn't know that I didn't kind of, I saw that they were saying register to vote. I actually didn't put two and two together.
Yeah.
Totally, love it.
Yeah, we haven't been that heavy about like you have to keep saying good to vote.
Right.
It's more the idea that
yeah.
you know you're going to get people to act instead of having a reunion and then during the reunion reminding people to vote. You're saying this reunion's only happening when 5,000 of you register, mm-hmm. and then you get everyone to say that. Mm-hmm. And we've actually done I think 7 reunions now. We're doing a Laguna Beach reunion, a Maze Runner reunion. We did a Glow reunion. We did a reunion for Scrubs. Anyway, so that's been a good model
oh, wow.
because everybody in the cast can all say, go register at this link, and then we're going to unlock this reunion.
Mm-hmm.
So we, in mid-August, felt like, okay, we've got a model. It's working. All the way through September, we're continuing to sign people up, and YouTubers are doing really well, and so are the celebrities and actors and musicians. So then I was, at the time, talking to Headcount a lot, And, you know, they mentioned to me that David Dobrik did something outside of Good to Vote that had gotten several thousand people to register. Mm-hmm. And so through the relationship with Headcount and Metro Creative, who was working with David Dobrik and Headcount, mm-hmm. I started talking to Metro. Mm-hmm. And so the CEO of Metro Creative is Tess Finkel. And
Metro PR, saying, you're talking about? Is that?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, got it.
Sure. Uh-huh. So, you know, we start thinking about, okay, how can we do something really big here together? And she comes to me with this idea of David is basically going to give away five Teslas to five people who verify that they're registered to vote. This would be a perfect part of the Good to Vote campaign. And he's essentially going to put this out on all of his channels to his fans, which I think is part of the key to this. I felt like what you normally see are these montages of like 10 different influencers and celebrities all reading one line of a script. Mm-hmm. And I feel like as a viewer, you sort of, you know, it's not that it's not effective, but you sort of like, okay, that is something that they were handed mm-hmm. to read and be part of something. Mm-hmm. This is really creators doing something on their own terms. Mm-hmm. It's very on brand for David to give away Teslas. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, similar to the Michael one, we assume it's going to work. We don't know how well it's going to work. And then within an hour of him posting it, he has like 10,000 people who are registered to vote, and I think something like 30,000 people who have verified that they're registered to vote. And so that definitely was a different level of success than we had to date. We had a lot of people that were registering thousands of people to vote, but nothing like this where it was 10,000 in the first hour or two.
Wow.
And yeah, to date, he's registered 125,000 people. It's probably the biggest single voter registration activation that's ever been done. It's such a huge number because a lot of people are already registered. And he's really smart about how he communicates with his audience. So it worked.
Ben, what's been Headcount's reaction to this? I'm reading a Rolling Stone article from 2019 that states, since its inception, Headcount Executive Director Andy Bernstein says the organization has registered roughly 600,000 voters.
Yeah.
And that the organization in 2019 at Bonnaroo set an all-time record for most number of fan registered, 1,400 at the music festival.
Wow. Right.
And this is over the past 16 years. Wow. Those are kind of high point numbers for them. So they just must be like
out of their minds.
Like, yeah. What's their reaction to this?
They're thrilled, and they've been outstanding partners, and they definitely have also helped us understand how do you message to creators the right way so that they can talk about voting to their fans in a way that will not only get people to register to vote, but actually vote. So mm-hmm. yes, certainly the numbers for them, they had never seen anything like the David Dobrik Tesla promotion, but it also had never been, nobody had ever seen anything like that. So to date, I think they are, you know, coming up on 1 million total registrations in the company's history. And yes, David came in and he's over 10% of them. The campaign in general, aside from the registrations, it's also been a great awareness campaign for them because, you know, typically when there's some kind of voting message, it tends to be pretty serious. And so with this, we've gotten way more press than the usual reminders to vote because it always comes with this big payoff. So like just over the past weekend, Jeff Goldblum said, if 1,000 of you register to vote, I'll recreate a scene from Jurassic Park. And if another 1,000 of you vote and we get to 2,000 or verify your registration, then we are going to recreate the shirtless pose that he did in Jurassic Park. And so once he did that, that was on the front page of Reddit. It was covered by, you know, over 50 publications, and it gives something, you know, for people to talk about, but it always comes with the message of he did this to get the vote out. So yeah, I think in addition to the registrations, it's also been a cool way to bring awareness to registering. I should mention, by the way, I keep saying registering to vote or verifying your registration. Mm-hmm. You know, with creators that are older or the fan bases are over 30, a lot of those fans are already registered to vote, mm-hmm. but it's still important to verify because sometimes it turns out you're not, or it, you know, helps you figure out where your polling location is and how to vote. So the early ones we did were just about voter registration with Michael Stevens and Jack Douglas and a few creators that, you know, we knew that the fan bases were young. And then as we started to work with a broader set of creatives, including actors and actresses, we started to also push these other voter actions like requesting a mail-in ballot, verifying or registering.
I am registered, but when Dobrik was decided to give away Teslas, I went on to verify because I want a Tesla.
Yeah.
Is there any way, and I don't even like the legality around this, is there any way to kind of figure out who actually votes from this pool, like just so you can measure that? Like, is that a thing?
Yeah, they do track that. And it's also something that we're doing along the way to make sure that we continually message people who registered through this campaign. So they'll get reminders, ideally from David himself, saying it's 2 weeks till registration. I'm sorry, till election day. Do you have your, you know, plan ready on where and how you're going to vote? So yes, it is trackable. And that is really the key. We don't want people just registering and verifying the registration. Sure. We want to make sure that we're increasing turnout.
Do you have any other interesting ways where you're attempting to increase turnout the same way you've kind of had interesting ways to increase voter registration?
We are working on some things there. Yes. I think that I'll first see if we actually pull them together in time. We've been trying to figure out basically how can somebody prove they voted so we can do a similar type of campaign where we would say, if 1,000 of you vote, then I'll release this song or I'll release this old audition tape. And that's a tougher thing to track because, you know, you're not allowed to take photos in the voting booth and all that. But we are trying to figure out how to also make sure we're driving turnout. And also along the way with these different Good to Vote activations, we've experimented a lot where College Humor did a live telethon for 2 hours and was able to, you know, register people during the entire 2 hour live stream. And we're also looking at ways now that the election is 3 weeks away to encourage early voting.
And you mentioned, I think you mentioned somewhere that, so in addition to headcount, what other organizations are you kind of working with?
Well, just some creators already have organizations that they have partnerships with. So for example, Rhett and Link set a goal where they're doing a live stream for 24 hours if 18,000 people register to vote. So that idea of unlocking this reward for their fans came from a conversation with Rhett and Link about Good to Vote. And then because they already had Vote Like a Beast in a partnership with Vote.org, they've had a lot of success with that. And that one is being done by Vote Like a Beast, but is a similar principle that instead of just telling people, hey, it's so important to vote, this election is so important, it actually incentivizes people by unlocking this live stream. And yeah, I mean, ultimately, I'd say three things about this really worked well for us. One is that there was this idea of not just having a straightforward message, but combining it with some kind of fun payoff for fans. So not only does that get people to register, but obviously all the algorithms and all of the different platforms are going to show that content more if it's, you know, let's just say, for example, Josh Gad. He said if 1,500 people register to vote or verify, he'll recap all of 2020 as Olaf.
And you know, that I loved post, it.
And that had, you know, 400,000 views. And he posts about voting all the time. But, you know, that one really
Dare I say you've gamified it, right?
Gamified a little bit. That's
right. Yes.
So that's one is gamifying it. Two, I think, is we figured out a way to use video because, you know, like I said, a lot of the previous video were these montages of 10 different people talking in a row. And this way they can go on their own platforms and talk to their own fans in a real way, but it doesn't have to be all about voting. There's a message about voting and then they can talk about what they're going to do. And so the response from fans is good. But I think, you know, more importantly, it's just this idea of video works better than these, you know, kind of memes and text posts. And then, yeah, the third thing is that certainly we found that YouTube creators have a level of admiration and respect from their audiences in a way that really no other category does. So we're seeing the conversion rates there being really strong. So I think that was sort of an untapped area where certainly they were messaging about voting already, but the numbers out of, you know, David, but also Michael and, you know, Epic Rap Battles and The Storm and just one random example, Corinne Lee is from Threadbanger. And you know, she has 300,000 Instagram followers. And she said to her Instagram following, if 200 of you register to vote, then I'm going to be allowed to adopt a cat. And then basically within 2 days, she had gotten 800 people to register. And she used a couple other things, I think the YouTube community tab and maybe Twitter. But point being, it doesn't need to be a megastar that really has a huge impact here. Mm-hmm. It's more about doing something that you know the fans will be excited about.
Yeah, especially true if you put it in context of the numbers that Headcount was registering before, and that presumably all these other voter registration organizations are registering before too, where 1,400 people, 800 people is a lot.
Yes, definitely. And that, yeah, and it takes a long time, you know, going door to door doing that in person. And so this is a way to scale that. And yeah.
So what's the work, first of all, so election is over or whatever. What's the work that's done kind of, you know, how do you keep this kind of civic action and excitement going? Like, what's the work that can be done after the election? And are you the new CEO of Headcount? Because maybe you should be.
No plans to do that. Andy's killing it. I partnered with someone who I'd worked with before on this named Noah Pollack.
Okay.
And so he's going to continue after November 3rd exploring what this could look like, whether it's for other initiatives, sure, midterms. So he's been fantastic throughout. I called him with the idea in August. Funny enough, I called him because I was like, I need someone who can design a slide. And I remember, didn't you have a good slide designer? That was the only reason I called. And he was like, I really like this idea, though. Can I do more than just design a slide for you?
Who is this person? What does he do?
He's been in unscripted television for, I think, you know, 15 years. He worked at E! And he worked at VH1. Yeah. And he had pitch shows to YouTube Originals. And yeah, that was the original reason. I mean, he's also super smart. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. The original reason I called him was because I was like, I think I need a slide mm-hmm. to describe this thing. Mm-hmm. So we've been, you know, since then working on this, and plan is for him to look at ways to continue this beyond November 3rd.
Yeah, it just feels like it feels like a moment. I mean, it just, I've never seen this kind of action being taken by creators and obviously to such success. So it's really exciting. So,
yeah,
you know,
it's been gratifying. And like I said, I started with YouTube with a political video, this Obama girl thing.
Right.
And then I felt like I kind of sat out two elections, and this election wanted to figure out some way to do something.
Yeah.
And yeah, it started with just a couple of experiments.
Yeah.
And now, yeah, to your point, we're trying to figure out, okay, is there a way that this type of model can be applied to other forms of social impact?
Totally. I would say this is a full circle moment for you, Ben. What do you think?
Sure.
Sure,
why not?
Amazing. Josh, do you have any other last questions for Ben? I think this is so exciting and so cool. And we want to obviously direct people into all the places that they can go. But Josh, do you have any questions? Any last questions?
No, I think we covered it all. Really incredible. Also impressive. Thank you for doing
it. Yeah, I know. I think it's so awesome. And I love that the kids are getting all excited about this. So people need to vote and, you know, they have, yeah. It's a privilege, man, you know?
Yeah, and I should mention also, by the way, the creators are all doing this for free.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, I've known this at YouTube for a long time, that there's all kinds of areas that creators work in, whether it's raising money or raising awareness around issues, and I don't think they get enough credit for it. So yeah, I started with a couple of people that I knew personally, but from there, it actually became a lot of people coming to us looking to figure out a way that they could contribute. So yeah, that's been definitely a rewarding piece of this, is that some of them are posting on their own social platforms, and you guys know, you know, the value in those posts.
Yep.
And they'll post 5, 6, 7 times. So that's really where, you know, it's been rewarding to see that YouTube creators have this influence and they're using it in a really powerful way.
Oh my God, not for nothing. Dobrik's like, we're joking, his branded content fee has gone way up because of this. It's like, as well it should.
Right.
As well it should.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you for coming on. We love it. So tell people where to go to do all the things.
We do have a website, goodtovote.com, mm-hmm. where we list all the different pledges, and you can see the different places that you can register to vote and what the deadlines are. And I think on most of the, you know, social platforms, if you search hashtag good to vote, you'll see some of the posts there.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Ben.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Ben. Let's jump right into some uploads. We should talk about digital creator-focused charity platform Tiltify. Just raised $6.5 million. This gives them a total raise of $9 million. So it's really interesting. So they have more than 2,000 partners already. They use a lot of kind of nonprofits, Save the Children, St. Jude's, this Make-A-Wish. So what they do is they provide creators with a live streaming and fundraising tools, and they use them to power charitable events, lots of them, obviously, recently in response to the coronavirus pandemic. And like this year, they're actually on track to generate more than 100 million in donation in charity in different with different charity partners. I love this because it's just showing more money going into the creator ecosystem, and specifically this as all around social good. So I think this is really cool.
Tiltify is awesome. We actually worked with Tiltify and the CEO, Michael Wasserman, back in 2014. They launched in 2013, so a little bit after they launched, for these game channel honors that we live streamed for this event from Bubsy's East in Los Angeles, California. And there was a charitable giving component to it, obviously. And so it's really incredible to see how they've evolved and grown since then. I mean, they're doing these huge events. They powered Stream 8 on Twitch. They've also done these huge events with big creators like Jacksepticeye, Markiplier, and a lot more. And so it's very cool to see them get this cash. It's very cool to see it go to a good company, Michael Wasserman & Co. And I'm excited to see what they do with it moving forward and how they even grow and become more part of just the kind of like fabric of our ecosystem.
Another upload. This is huge. Greg Goodfried, who was the co-head of UTA's digital talent division along with Ali Berman, is leaving UTA. And you know where he's going? You know where he's going? He's going to run the D'Amelio family of social media stars. Charli D'Amelio, best year ever, 2020. Goodfried is going to go run her whole world. And I think that's he's becoming president of D'Amelio Family Enterprises. The split is amicable, UTA, don't worry. And because actually Charli is a client of UTA, so I'm sure everybody was there in the room discussing this. And I think this is really cool. D'Amelio is Goodfried is he's an entrepreneur. He had started a company called Equal that was sold to Everyday Health back in the day, and then he has been at UTA for quite a while. So I mean this is a huge move. I mean, Goodfried is a legit executive, and he's going to run their business, which means that they have a lot of faith that this business is going to be. I mean, not that we don't know this, but like this is the real business that he's going to kind of create there, more than just these kind of one-offs. So I think this is a huge upload. This is exciting. I'm really excited to see what he does and how he expands what is already kind of an empire.
Totally super excited to see what Greg Goodfried does with the D'Amelio family. Also, he joined UTA in 2014, but before that, like you said, he was at Equal, where he started one of the original YouTube phenomenons, perhaps one of the most notable of all time, Lonely Girl 15.
Forgot about that. Yep.
Back in the day, huge deal. And has really leveraged that into this incredible career. While at UTA, he worked with a bunch of different lifestyle creators, beauty creators, family creators. So this opportunity with the D'Amelio family is a great fit. Also, Lauren, do you think it was his photo of him holding a golf club and talking on the phone in the New York Times that really clinched the deal here?
Oh my God, I almost forgot about that. Wait, what was it was in the New York Times. I'm forgetting. Was it just an article about UTA and just them being, what was the context of the article? It was an amazing photo. It was the most agent-y photo you've ever seen in your entire life. He's in his like fancy Hollywood office, like, on the phone with like his like headpiece and like with his like golf club, just like swinging and, you know, making deals. Like, oh my God! What was the article? Was it just like him being? I'm an agent. I can't even remember.
It was about kind of the influencer and creator space, and people, creators kind of growing up and leveling up with management and agencies in it, and they interviewed.
I think that sealed the deal. D'Amelio's were like, yes, please, more of that, more of the golf club, please, Greg. So good. So Goodfried said, I think they, meaning the D'Amelio family, could be as big as any family that have taken over American media. What other families have taken over American media?
Kardashians? Oh, right. Kardashians, Lauren?
Oh, right. I forgot. I was like, what's he talking? Why isn't he more specific? And then Mark D'Amelio, the dad, the family's recent goal has been to form a D'Amelio media company. Greg was the ideal choice for the internal role, not only because of the success we've had with him thus far through our working relationship with UTA, but also because he brings years of experience and expertise from the entertainment and media industries paired with his past experience as an entrepreneur. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, he's really an entrepreneur, I think, at the end of the day. So I think this makes a ton of sense for him. I think this is really exciting.
Lauren, I think we did it.
I think so.
I'll see you checking your registration status at headcount.org.
And also waiting for my Tesla from Dobrik.
And if not then next week on Planet Upload. Today's show was produced by Lauren Schnipper and me, Joshua Cohen. Original music is by London Bridge. You can check him out on Instagram at London Bridge Music. Go there, seriously, he's really good. Make sure you subscribe to Planet Upload on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. While you're there, give us a rating and leave us a comment too. If you want to talk to us or have any questions you'd like us to answer on a future episode of Planet Upload, hit us up at planetuploadpod@gmail.com. If you like the show, please recommend it to a friend, colleague, loved one, or associate. Thank you for listening to Planet Upload, and we will be back next week.